Hello and welcome to another episode of the Startup Operator Roundup. I'm Roshan Karyappa, and as you can see, I don't have a bottle of beer.
And I'm Gunjan Sa with this amazing bottle of home-brewed beer. Well, before starting this episode, let's introduce you to the topics.
Well, before that, we should also give a shout-out for the beer. Thanks, Gavesh, for the stock and supply. Fabulous stuff. You should really reconsider your day job, for sure.
Yeah. And it's technically legal in India to brew your own beer.
Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah. All right. In today's episode, we'll start a discussion with OpenAI's Sora. That is the project that's making strides by transforming text into video content. Then we'll discuss GST data showing that the gaming industry has been doing surprisingly well despite the new taxation laws that were implemented last year. Next, an important collaboration between India and UAE was launched last week. India's UPI got linked with UAE's Ani, which is ushering a new era of cross-border payments. After that, we'll take a look at Rapido's new approach of a zero-commission model for its auto drivers and the potential impact it will have across the ride-hailing industry. And lastly, we'll explore Aurum, which is the new startup by Ganesh Balakrishnan, who we had on the podcast earlier. And this company aims to provide high-tech locker services. So it's definitely a new topic we'll be exploring in the podcast. So stay tuned for these discussions. If you're a regular listener of the Startup Operator podcast, then please do like, share this video with your operator friends. And if this is the first time you're joining, please consider subscribing to our channel, for we have some fantastic discussions related to startups and what's happening in the Indian ecosystem. So let's get started. Man, this beer is good. Have you tried this beer?
Yeah, I just had a sip. I mean, you stole the pint from me. So, yeah, anyway.
Well, it's good. But while I finish this, tell us about your week.
Week has been great. I don't know if you guys have been following the India-England test match, right? Good stuff. Right now, I think evenly balanced the time of our recording. I'm still rooting for India, of course. And props to Ravichandran Ashwin. He's got his 500th test wicket. Phenomenal achievement. We used to always, back in the 90s, wonder why we couldn't produce amazing all-rounders like, let's say, the Australian team or the South African team. And here we have a situation where, someone like Ravindra Jadeja and Ravichandran Ashwin are playing for the team, right, among others. So, fantastic stuff, I should say. This week, also, we had the release of the 8... Navy personnel from Qatar, right, which was big news. I mean, these folks were sentenced to death, right, and that sentencing was eased, and now, I mean, yeah, they're coming back home. Again, phenomenal achievement from a diplomatic perspective, right? All kudos to the team, right? And few people said that, it could be Swiggy or Zomato, but yeah, I mean, we know who made it happen. Prime Minister Modi, of course, and, Dr. Jaishankar and the rest of the bureaucrats, right?
This is like such a big deal because Qatar, announces these royal pardons only twice a year. And in that country, espionage is considered to be like one of the direst crimes.
Yeah, absolutely. So, fantastic stuff. I always say that all of this stuff, right, economics, finance, startups, whatever, is downstream from geopolitics, right? And India is gaining ground on that front, Prime Minister Modi was in the UAE inaugurating the Swaminarayan Temple as well, right? Among other engagements, he was also, inaugurated the Bharat Mart, right? Yeah. Which is basically all food, fresh produce, etc. under
everything Indian,
yeah. Right? Under one store, right? Similar to the Dragon Mart, I hear, right? Aside from that, what Gunjan mentioned, which is the UPI is now cross-border with the UAE. And considering that, we have almost 20% of our remittances coming from the UAE and that there is a huge expat community there, including some family of mine. UPI is going to make this a lot more seamless.
So we'll start off with that. Prime Minister Narendra Modi is currently doing what would be his last visit to the Middle East before the general elections. One of the key highlights of his visit to UAE was the linkage of UPI with Ani. Ani is, the payment platform in the Middle East. This collaboration between India and UAE will expand the reach of India's digital payments ecosystem on a global scale. And while this has been happening, India has exported UPI to Sri Lanka, to Germany, and a few other countries. While this is really taking on the big players of the industry, right, especially with RuPay versus MasterCard versus Visa, UPI is now becoming global. There are talks in the US to also implement a similar model. What does this mean for the Indian fintech sector?
See, by all parameters, at least from the digital public infrastructure front, I mean, we are a first world country. We have the kind of infrastructure and the services that any other country anywhere in the world would sort of envy. Right, our payments are seamless, and the sort of applications that you see from a fintech perspective here is it's not something that you can see even in the US or UK or elsewhere in the West, right? This is great. Once we make these cross-border payments seamless, there are multiple other use cases that can kind of open up, right? I mean, now you're talking about a situation where someone collects or pays rent perhaps, right, in India, or sends back money for their family or relatives or whatever else. Other sort of services, right? I mean, whether it is, cross-border credit or, insurance, whatever else. So really the use cases will open up, I think, and with more collaboration, we'll see more possibilities in the coming days for sure.
Yeah, and also when this announcement was made in the media, it was shown that Prime Minister Modi is giving a RuPay credit card to the UAE President Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, and their bromance has been strong.
Brother Zayed.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Now let's talk what probably everyone is talking about this week. OpenAI's latest.
Sora.
OpenAI's latest project, Sora. Now, this announcement is making waves across various industries for its groundbreaking ability to transform text into video content. Now, this definitely opens up a lot of new possibilities, especially for content creators, marketers, and teachers also, I would say, because for them to reach new demographics, for them to decrease their workload, this could have big implications. But some of the few topics that everyone is talking about is, one, what are the ethical implications of AI video generation? And number two is, wow, the possibilities are endless. Mm. But I think the reality will somewhere lie in between both of them, especially if you take a long-term view, which is, one, the cost of AI video production will come down as technology advances. And second, people will try to, once the excitement dies out, then we'll be seeing the real use cases for AI video generation.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on these?
I mean, I was just seeing some of those videos that were generated based on people's prompts, right? Sam had this tweet asking people for interesting prompts, and, there were all kinds, right?
Like Ejipura flyover completed with cars.
Well, I mean, I didn't see a video of that, but one can dream for sure, right? Maybe the AI has to get a little more powerful for that, I suppose. But this is amazing. The cinematography, the visuals, the photography, I mean, everything, seems stunning, really stunning. Yeah. It still feels artistic, right? I mean, kind of photorealistic, I would say, right? I mean, where I'm sort of able to tell that it's AI and not real. With time, it's going to become very difficult to sort of discriminate, right? I mean, between real and fake. It definitely opens up all kinds of questions in terms of, copyright and misuse and, slander and, all kinds of other stuff, right? But, it's going to be a hard problem. At this point of time, I think they're working with some of these regulators and so on and so forth to figure out like the guardrails, checks and balances, and so on and so forth. Let's see what happens. But man, personal entertainment is going to get to a different level with this.
It's going to change in the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah. So I saw this tweet someone had put out that, in the 90s or whatever, you had these VHS cassettes, and then you had DVDs and whatnot, and that was a generation. Then we had streaming with Netflix. and YouTube Prime, whatever. And now you'll be able to, like, you know, ask AI to make a fifth season of Narcos if you want, right? With maybe Brad Pitt in the lead.
Wow.
Yeah, think about that. And it can, you know, possibly, I mean, get to a point where it'll generate that for you, right? So it's just amazing. And I think literally everyone can become some kind of a director or creator with this kind of a stuff, right? And yeah, even teachers, you mentioned, right? Now imagine trying to teach some arcane, difficult concepts, right? Something in the realm of, you know, physics or mathematics and so on. Imagine being able to generate videos at will, right? Being able to explain this to kids. I mean, fantastic. Yeah, mm-hmm. the possibilities are truly endless. And AI is like an invention of the internet, sort of a moment, I feel.
And, you know, in Pakistan's elections, we are seeing the case of how Imran Khan is using deepfakes to propagate an agenda. So, for example, in the case of Pakistan, we are seeing how Imran Khan is using AI-generated video content to further his agenda and, you know, give a competition to the other political parties. So I think it's high time that the governments need to expedite the process of coming with some sort of compliance and reforms as to how to regulate this AI video space. All right, so moving on. Revenue Secretary Sanjay Malhotra revealed that the GST collection from online gaming has surged to ₹3,470 crores in the November to January period. Now, this is despite concerns that implementing GST would stifle the sector and many, you know, big gaming companies would shut down because the amount of GST that they had to pay was more than the entire valuation of the company. But as you're seeing, the exact opposite has happened. Initially, there were fears that taxing online gaming would deter users and hinder revenue. However, the numbers speak for themselves, showcasing the industry's resilience and the revenue potential. What do you think is driving this?
So let me preface this by saying that I was terribly wrong about this. So I thought, you know, the gaming industry will be incinerated by the additional taxes and whatnot. But seems as though they've managed to hold up and they're doing reasonably well. You know, it is advantageous to them that, of course, I mean, their users wouldn't really make rational choices about, you know, things like gaming, which, you know, tend to have an addictive nature as such. Right. So. Don't be fooled by all of the noise about layoffs and, you know, not having enough money and whatnot, right, like I was. But yeah, they say at least the GST collections prove that the last 3 months have been good for the industry, you know.
But that is what it is, right? This is just GST collection. We are still yet to see how they're making to make this payments. Because I think when these laws were announced, the council said they'll review the laws at the 6 month mark. I think we are currently on the fourth or fifth month of this practice. So it'll be good. Like once we hear from the other side, maybe then a decision can be taken on what the long-term plans will be.
Yeah, sure.
Talking about long-term plans, Rapido's recent expansion into the zero commission model for auto drivers marks a significant step towards the evolutions of ride-hailing platforms. This new model allows auto drivers to retain their entire fare earnings without paying any commission to the platform. It incentivizes driver growth and retention by offering them more attractive saving proposition and also encourages more drivers to join the platform and contribute to the company's expansion and growth. Now, Rapido's expansion of zero commission model could have significant implications for other ride-hailing platforms as well. It may prompt other players to revisit their business models and prioritize driver-centric approaches. Now, the way I see it, this is a win-win for both the consumer and the drivers. Because the consumer might have to pay less, given that the commission will, I'm pretty sure, will be lesser than 30% of every ride earnings. And for driver, this means more cash.
They've had to revisit their pricing models, right? Obviously, you know, because in a few of the states, there are caps in terms of how much you can charge and whatnot, right? And there's also been, you know, fair amount of protests from the drivers on the, you know, commissions and so on. And consumers have been protesting surge pricing as well, right? So we've seen Namayatri, for instance, charge a flat subscription, and that seemed to have worked for them, right? So it's on expected lines. I do feel that, you know, if ride hailing, I mean, if you really have to make it work, you have to sort of, you know, figure out the the business economics as such, right? I mean, it's definitely not sustainable to, you know, offer discounts. Discounts are long gone anyway, no? Right? But, so, you know, crazy, atrocious surge prices at one end and, you know, and similar commissions as well, right? So yeah, subscription could be the way out.
But also interesting to know, I think last week or the week before, Uber hit profitability in India. So, I don't know. Still no cab availability.
Maybe because of that. They're serving more profitable users.
Okay. Some segue. So before we move on to the big fundraise announcements of the week, a big shout out to Ganesh Balakrishnan. He recently launched his latest venture called Aurum. That's A-U-R-M. That aims to provide high-tech locker services to affluent Indians. Now, this is especially interesting because I think in India, we're going to see the first generation of wealth inheritance, large-scale wealth inheritance. And the kind of services and the lifestyle needs that they have is pretty unique from what at least I can imagine. I don't know about you, Roshan.
But
good luck to Bala if you're listening to this episode. We'd love to have a chat with you sometime.
Yeah, do check out the episode we shot, about a year back? Year and a half back, I think.
Yeah,
the flatheads one. Right, down but not out.
So yeah, now on to the big announcements from the week. Most of the funding last week was raised by Indian startups that particularly don't fall under the favored categories like e-commerce, fintech or edtech, but it's good to see some action going on. Captain Fresh, which is a B2B fish and seafood tech startup, raised $25 million from British International Investment and Nekanti Seafood Group as well as family offices. Student accommodation platform Amber raised $21 million from Gaja Capital, Lighthouse, Canton and Stride Ventures. Spiritual tech startup AstroTalk raised $20 million from Left Lane, which is a New York-based venture capital firm. And Metalbook, which is a B2B metal supply chain management platform, raised $15 million from Regal Capital Venture Fund, FJ Labs, Axelor Ventures, Fundamental, Stride Ventures and Trifecta Capital. So a lot of wide variety of sectors that are seeing a lot of action.
And a lot more family offices investing as well, right? At more reasonable valuations.
Now, moving on to the talk of the town section. Last week, Mark Zuckerberg took to Instagram to release a video giving a review of the Vision Pro. Now, while he was not all about bashing the headset, he did mention where it really outperforms the Oculus. But what really struck me as, you know, what is essentially done by tech reviewers and tech influencers. Here we have, you know, the CEO of probably one of the largest tech companies in the world coming out and directly talking about competition and reviewing their product. What is that?
See, so first of all, let me, like, I don't know. I mean, a bunch of people thought that, you know, Mark just like, you know, like one evening he just pulled out his phone and then shot this video, right? I mean, you know, he's, come on, guys. Right, he's like the CEO of a multi-billion-dollar market cap or probably trillion-dollar market cap company, right? I mean, that's not going to happen. It was made to seem like that, but obviously, I mean, it was carefully choreographed, right? I mean, there was a script. There should be a script, right? And proper set and instructions on what to do, what not to do. So, yeah, I mean, all those wet dreams about founder CEOs, you know, being brash and like, you know, driven by the heart and the loins and whatnot, not so much, right? So this was a carefully considered move, I should say. But having said that, you know, it was good. It was in stark contrast to, you know, what someone like a Tim Cook would do, right? Obviously not. You know, Tim Cook would not, you know, supposedly like...
But that also, on that point, right? Tim Cook is a CEO.
Yeah.
Right? But Mark Zuckerberg is not only the CEO, he's the founder of a startup.
Yeah, that's the difference that I think, you know, a lot of people noticed as well, right? And it's good. I mean, I think, you know, again, the other difference is that, you know, Mark is, or Zuck is a proper product guy, you know, compared to Tim, who seems more like a business guy, right? So talking about features and specs and so on and so forth. Yeah, I mean, he said that it costs 7 times more, but then it's not superior in any way or form, right? I mean, and he listed down a bunch of these features and so on. It somehow sounded like one of those Apple versus Samsung kind of debates, which is a losing proposition, right? I mean, you know, I can argue how good my Google Pixel phone is with the... I can. I mean, the photos are like phenomenal, actually. Photos, downright, the Pixel beats any other phone, I think. Right? All your Apple fanboys can send us hate in the comments. But yeah, you know, but Apple folks are Apple folks, right? I mean, they're not going to listen to this crap. So yeah, I mean, it was interesting, though. It's good. I mean, we're in the times of, you know, CEOs kind of shitposting on each other. So yeah. Great stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. So I guess with that, I'm also done with my beer and we're also at the end of this week's roundup.
It's a bloody miracle that we're getting through this, you know, the end of the podcast.
Hey, why not?
That one pint of beer is knocked.
See, if you think the beer is the... You'll be surprised with other things that have happened in the past.
All right.
Anyway, so I'm almost done with the beer and we're also almost done with this episode. We hope you had some interesting takeaways from our conversation. We hope you had some interesting takeaways from our discussion from this episode. Last week, we also published a fantastic conversation with Ranjit of Stellabs. And I personally liked how he gave a new perspective towards what are the areas where you think IoT might be successful. It was a very counterintuitive point, and I think that was one of my highlights of the episode.
Yeah.
But what are some other episodes that are lined up for distribution?
Well, next week we have the fastest human calculator, wow, Banu, on the podcast. Right, we recorded this conversation a while back. Interesting company, Banzu, that is you know, transforming math education in India. I think it's a very pertinent need.
Hey.
So yeah. Hey, I mean,
we all
I just meant in general. I mean, I was not talking about you. I think a few people might recollect the billions conversation from, you know, some roundups ago, right? So,
yeah. All right, folks, that's it for this week's roundup. We hope you have a fantastic week ahead. Let us know who are some of the founders or investors or operators you want us to host in the podcast. We'll reach out to them. Do all the good stuff, like, share, comment, and subscribe to the channel for sure. And keep sending us your thoughts. We'll see you again next week.
Cheers, guys. Bye.